go ahead and turn in your Bibles now to the book of, let's start with Joshua chapter 6, 18. Joshua chapter 6, 18. So many things going on here at Elevate Life Church, and we're so grateful for everybody. And again, let me just thank everybody that is faithful givers to this church as we receive tithes and offerings every week. It's because of you that we're able to do some of the incredible things that we do in this community and around the world because of your faithful giving. And I just really want to thank you guys from the bottom of our hearts. We were also able to bless Pastor Cruz. Wasn't Pastor Cruz great last week? Amen. I said, bro, you found your tribe, man. He was like, he fit right in, and he just loved being with us. We had a great time with him at School of Leaders, and I think we're going to have him back. How many would like to have him back maybe next year? Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're able to do that because, again, we were able to bless him and send him off and thank him for all that he was able to impart. And if you missed that service, make sure you go on the podcast, and you can download that. It was a great, great word. Also, make sure that you're also downloading the free phone app, Elevate Life Church Sacramento phone app. Get on there, and there's some great information, and we're going to be sending more notifications and things to keep everybody up to date on all the things that are going on, because there are literally things happening all throughout the week that maybe you need to be reminded of or be a part of. I know this morning there was a children's workers meeting here, and we're trying to get things real tight for the kids and go to another level and also prepare for Easter Sunday. Praise God. Well, are you in Joshua chapter 6, verse 18? All right, we've been talking about beasts of the promised land, and I want to continue on this and try to finish this up this week and next week because I have something ready for you as we're going into Easter. And don't forget, I don't know if I told you this, next week we're going to be receiving communion together as a church as it kicks off Holy Week, and so we want to make sure that you're here, and we're going to have a powerful time receiving the Lord's Supper next week. So Joshua chapter 6, 18 is where we will begin today. And it says this, "And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and you trouble it. But all the silver and all the gold and the vessel of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather together and to hear your word. Father, I thank you that you have full reign in this place, Lord. May you breathe upon this word, Lord God, and cause it to come alive inside of us so that we can possess the promises of God that each person has here today, Father. We ask, Lord God, that you would illuminate our eyes so we could see your goodness and your plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we've been talking about the beasts of the promised land, and this really hit my spirit a while back as I was praying for you and this church, because I believe that every believer has a promised land in God. That is why Jesus has saved you. He didn't save you just to get you to heaven, although heaven's going to be an awesome place. Amen. Y'all know heaven's going to be an awesome place, right? Amen. Okay, but we're not there yet. So what the Bible tells us is that Jesus, in John 10:10, reveals his plan. And his plan was that he came to give us an abundant life, okay? And that is where we begin to look at Israel and see that Israel was just like us. They were slaves to the Egyptians. You and I, we were slaves to sin. And then Jesus came into our lives, and he pulls us out of our Egypt, like the Israelites, and he brings us out. But before he can take us into our promised land, there are things that he's in the process of doing. And so we look at the children of Israel, and we see some parallels there. They were like us. They're in slavery. God brings them out. And where does he bring them out to? He doesn't just take them right into the promise. The first place that he takes them and he brings them to is the wilderness. But the wilderness lasted 40 years, and it wasn't supposed to. It was literally less than a four-day journey. They should have just been crossing right through it. But instead, what began to happen is they didn't get their minds renewed. They didn't get this thing on top of their shoulders changed, like a lot of Christians. And so that season that should have been a short one became a long one. even to the place where that generation died, never seeing the promises of God. And the Bible begins to tell us there that God gives them the plan. He says, I'm going to give you the promised land, but I'm going to do it little by little. And he says this, the reason I'm not just going to bring you in there is because if I just bring you into that promised land without a process, the beasts in the promised land are going to be too numerous for you, and they're going to dominate you. And so I've heard a lot of teaching about the giants in the land, but we haven't heard as much teaching about those beasts. And the beast, that word beast in the Bible many times refers to the fleshly nature. It's where we get the mark of the beast. It's also called the number of man, 666. And it talks about that beastly nature, that fallen fleshly nature is referred to as the beast. So there's beasts in these promised land, in the promised land, that need to be slayed. They need to be taken care of, or we won't reach that promise. And the first one that we talked about was the beasts of fear, okay? And we saw that because people were afraid, they never possessed their promises, okay? We went further on and as we looked at other things that the Israelites began to deal with, and they began to deal with the beast of rebellion, and they had to make sure that the rebellion was in check, because if they were going to possess their promise, they had to settle, it's going to be God's way. It's not going to be my way. It's not going to be according to how I feel or what I think, because Proverbs tells us a man's ways are right in his own mind. Come on, how many know that's true? We can always justify things in our own mind, but to possess our promise, we have to embrace God's word. And if God's word says it, I believe it, that settles it. None of this, will I feel, will I think? No, see, that I's got to go on the cross. It has to bow to the ways of the Lord. And that's one thing we talked about. The second thing they had to bow was rebellion and getting over this thing of I'm going to do it my way. Come on, Frank Sinatra. No, you're not going to do it your way if you're going to have God's promise. We have to submit to his ways, because the Bible tells us his ways are higher than our ways. And then we looked at the third beast there, and that was that beast that we've talked about, that Leviathan spirit, that spirit of pride that tries to come in and dominate us and get us to just be all about us. It's our way, you know. It's what we feel and what we think. And we looked at scriptures about that, and we understood that pride has to fall before we can take our promised land, okay? And let me just say this. Pride is not a small thing. It's a huge thing. It's the only thing in the Bible that God says, if you got pride, I got to resist you. Now think about that for a moment. If you've got pride, I got to resist you. And then he says on the flip side of that, but if you're humble, I'll exalt you. I'll give grace to you. And so there's a lot of people that talk about pride like it's a pet, like it's a little pet hamster or something. Well, you know, I know I got some pride. I know. Whoa. You're acting like, you know, it's just a blemish on your skin. Listen, that's a big deal. And that's great that you know it's there, but you got to deal with it. Because if you don't, it can literally hold up the blessings of God. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. One of the characteristics of pride is prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. So nobody has to tell you there's a problem with Christians praying in America. Okay? A lot of Christians don't pray. I hope you're not shocked by that, but that's just the way it is. Because prayer takes one attribute that you got to have, humility. Humility. Humility will get you every day understanding, I need God. If God don't show up, it ain't getting done, and it'll cause you to bow your knee. It'll cause you to get in there and seek his face, okay? So we talked about that a little bit. Pride speaks harshly. Pride breaks covenants. This is why people are breaking covenants all across our nation. They don't want to bend. They don't want to come to a place of compromise with folks. It's my way or the highway. Man, you're full of pride, and you're going to grow old and alone acting like that. Come on, somebody. So pride is not to be played with. And we looked at all those attributes there. It can literally keep you from your promised land. And if you missed those messages, you can go on the podcast and get those. But today we want to deal with the fourth beast in the promised land. And that is what we see here in Joshua chapter 6, 18 through 19 that we just read. And in this story, Israel's about to go into the promised land. And God is giving them specific instructions of how he wants it to be done. And he begins to tell the Israelites this. He says, and by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. And when you take of the accursed things. Now, let me stop right there. In the Old Testament, if you touched unclean things, it tarnished the cleanliness that you had. Okay? Now, let me make sure you understand something. That is Old Testament. Come on, somebody. Amen? Now, I know there's a lot of churches today still preaching that kind of thing. Well, you know, it's the little things, you know, that concept that a little darkness causes all that's clean to be unholy. But did you know what the blood of Jesus has done? It has flipped that on its side. Because now under the new covenant, a little bit of God sanctifies all the mess. And so while under the old covenant, if you had any darkness in you, you could not be clean. Listen, if you got any God in you, the darkness that's in you has to leave now. So I want to make sure that's clear before I go on, because this is where religious people love to jump on the old covenant train and start running folks over right here. Okay, go on, Pastor, preach it. Don't touch the accursed thing. Let's get out of them movies. Let's get out of this and let's get out of that. Listen, I'm not saying we shouldn't live a holy life, but this is what I always say. We can't be afraid to engage the world. We shouldn't be afraid that uncleanliness is going to tarnish us. No, we're on the offensive. We take our God into a dirty world and we dominate it. In the old covenant, the dirt of the world would keep us unclean. And so it was like, oh, we got to stay away from all that. Oh, we're scared of that. That can really, no, not in this covenant. In this covenant, Jesus empowers me to go as a sheep amongst wolves. You ever think about how he says that? That's kind of, you know, when you first read that, you go, that's jacked up, Jesus. You're telling me I'm going out there and there. No, he's given us an example that if I'm with you, a sheep can dominate wolves. What he's saying there. And so I want to make sure you have that understanding. But for the sake of the story, look what it says. He's warning them, don't touch these accursed things, because if you do, it'll defile you. Now, some of that is still true today, and I'm going to touch on that later, but I want to just make clear what I wasn't coming from. Let's keep reading here. And so the accursed thing, lest you become accursed when you take the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and the vessel of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now let's jump over to Joshua chapter 7, 1-6. Because what Jesus is doing here is he's saying, hey, this is how I want it done. I don't want you touching cursed things. And I don't want you touching the gold, the silver, and the bronze. That is reserved to be offered to the Lord. It seems real clear, right? Come on, nod at me. It seems real clear, right? That's all we need to do. If we do that, we're going to dominate the enemy. Look at Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, dang, they got all down into his family line. How many see that right there? They want to make sure you know it was these folks right here, this family. Come on. There was these guys, the Zabdis and the Zerahs and the Achans. They're the ones that jacked it up. Now let's keep reading. And he took of their accursed thing, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. And now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon, and on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up, spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up. Let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. So here it is again. Israel just defeated Jericho. The walls came down. Miracles are happening. Joshua says, go spy this other place out. The guys come back and say, listen, this is a piece of cake. Let's not even trouble ourselves. Send a few thousand guys. We'll knock this out. But remember, they had compromised. They had disobeyed. They had touched the accursed things. And look what happens here. It says, do not worry all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Cherubim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. And then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. So what has happened? God gives a clear distinctive. Don't touch the accursed thing. And don't touch the bronze, the gold, and the silver. What do? This family gets it in their mind. They grab the accursed thing. They take it with them. And what begins to happen? The plan of God is now in jeopardy. And instead of dominating, now they're getting dominated. Isn't that how it works sometimes when we leave the path that God has us on? Instead of dominating things, we now begin to get dominated. So what was the cause of this in the promised land? The cause of this, I believe, is the beast of lust. Okay? The beast of lust. Now, what does that word lust mean? When we think about that word lust, a lot of people only think about lust being of a sexual nature, and it definitely can be. But look at this definition of lust here that the dictionary says. It says, lust is a passionate desire for something. It's greed, craving, eagerness, a longing, a yearning, being hungry or thirsty. It's an appetite. And so I believe one of the things that can knock you out of your promised land is the beast of lust. This thing that gets a hold of us where we begin to lust and long for things that God has either said no to or not right now. You need to catch this morning, because there's a lot of us that if we were to look at your life, if you were to take a snapshot of your life, you're functioning and you're motivated by a spirit of lust. And that's, like I said, it could be of a sexual nature. It could just be that the thing that you want, God has either said no to or he has said not yet. Okay. Now look at this right here. I want to take you over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. As we bring it over into the New Testament, we begin to see a warning here from John in 1 John 2:15. And he says this to us: do not love the world or the things in the world. Now let me stop right there. That can be confusing. You say, well, why shouldn't we love the world? Right, didn't Jesus die on the cross for the world? John 3:16. Aren't we supposed to go into the world and save them? Yes. So let me break down what that word world there means. It's not talking about the world per se, as much as it's talking about the system of the world. And what it's telling us here is do not love the system of the world. The same way Jesus preaches the kingdom. He's not preaching a kingdom that's far away in heaven. He's saying, as he preaches the kingdom, this is God's system. This is how God does things. Are you still tracking with me today? So as John is telling us here, he's saying, do not love the system of the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the system of the world or how the world works, the love of the Father is not in him. What a strong statement to be made in the New Testament there. What a strong warning that we have to look at right there. Now look at the next part. It says, for all that is in the system of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the system of this world. And the system of the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So what does this mean to us as we're dealing with these strong desires and this thing that drives us to get off God's path? It basically means this. Number one, We've got to fall out of agreement with how the world does things. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. See, some of y'all love Jesus and you come to church, but you still operate in the ways of the world. Let me give you an example. You single and you trying to get a spouse, but you're doing it the world's way. Oh, I didn't get no amens on that right there. See, you want to be married and you want to get a husband, but instead of learning about how God, the kingdom works and how God does it, you're still operating in the ways of the world. And so how does a female get a man? Uh-oh, I'm going there. How does a female get a man in the world? Do I really need to tell you? Come on. Do we really need to go over that? What does a female do in the world to get a man? Well, she feels like she got to show her body. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't look at me like you ain't never looked at no one's Instagram. What is that? That's the world's way of getting a husband. Now, I'm not saying just be all crusty and nasty and all that. No, 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 no. But I'm saying, could it be that heaven operates a different way, that if you're going to get a man of God, you got to find out how that system works? Are you tracking with me? So success in the business world, according to the world system, is going to mean you're going to have to pay a price to be successful in business that God might not want you to pay. But if you're so lustful about being a success, you will go after being a success the world's way. And you'll find yourself, listen now, being dishonest, being undercutting, stepping on folks to get to the top, taking credit for things you shouldn't be taking credit for. You'll find yourself playing and running the rat race. Office politics, all that. And then someone always wants to say, oh, well, pastor, you know, that's just the world that it's in. You know, that's just the way it is. Don't you read the Bible? Because if you did, you would understand that the Bible says all promotion comes from God. And instead of working to please your boss, you need to work to please God. And your boss will also be pleased. But see, there's a different way that you got to enter into this thing. You got to do what John says here. You got to fall out of love with the system of the world and the things that are in it. Because all that's going to produce is lust. He says right here, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's where a lot of people live. Success in people's eyes of this world is having big house, cars, nice clothes, nice handbags. Come on. Nice stuff. But John's saying, listen, you got to come up out of that stuff because that is not success. That is not what Jesus deems successful. Now, are those things wrong? Absolutely not. But the lust for them is where you will do whatever it takes to get that. And some of us in this room, that's where we live. We need to come up out of that. Because let me tell you, those things that you're lusting after compare nothing to the promises God has for your life. And this is where we enter back into the story in Joshua. Here's a family, and he calls them out. Son of this guy, his grandma was this, his mama was this. This who did it, right here. He named them out. For eternity, those folks' names are in the Bible for messing things up. That family, okay? So what happens here? You got this army that just has seen miracles, y'all. They saw miracles. They saw the walls of Jericho come down. And you know, the literal translation in the Hebrew, when it says the walls of Jericho came down, it wasn't that they crumbled down like we've seen in movies. Archaeologists have found when they've dug up the walls of Jericho that they fell straight down. That literally when they dug for the walls were all intact. So it wasn't the sound that crumbled them. It was literally the hand of God that said, y'all ready? Boom. and they ran in on top of those walls. Think about that now. They saw this kind of stuff. They saw an army defeated by some trumpets and some shouts. That's what they saw. They saw the Jordan River part when the priests put their feet in it. But here's what happens. They got to the promised land and they saw things that they began to lust after. They saw things that weren't necessarily evil. God was saying, just not yet and not this way. It's interesting to me that we get off track many times because we're pursuing things that God is going to give you, just not that way and just not this time. And that's real important because we got so many Christians that can't wait. We got so many Christians that want it now. What was that, Charlie? John the Chocolate Factory? I want it now. Remember that girl? She wants the whole world. All right? My wife knows that song, you know? I mean, that's how some of us are. And here's the thing. Here's the crazy thing that this guy missed when he took of those accursed things. What he did is he took of stuff that God was going to give him anyway. But you know what? He did it his way. He wanted it in his time, his way. And this is something the enemy will always bring you when there's a promise for you. He did it to Jesus. Think about when Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The devil appears to him and he takes him up on and shows him the kingdoms of the world. And listen to what he says to Jesus. He says this, I'll give you all these kingdoms here if you just bow down and worship me. And you say, well, what's so significant about that? Here's what he was promising Jesus. He was promising Jesus the same thing God the Father was promising Jesus, except without a cross. So he was going to give Jesus the same thing that God the Father was going to give him, just saying you won't have to die for it. You won't have to nail your hands to a cross to have it. He said, I'll just give it to you if you just bow down and worship me. What did Jesus say? Not going to happen, baby. It's not happening. We need to get that same spirit as Jesus. Because the minute God begins to reveal your promise to you, guess what the enemy comes and does? He begins to start speaking to you about how it's going to get done. And I see it all the time. And it's this thing of where we get a promise from God and we go, oh, then that must mean this, and that must mean this, and this is how it's going to happen, and I can see God doing it that way. And God is just looking up at heaven from heaven. He's going, you done? Because that ain't my plan at all. We all do it. I've done it. Listen, when we came to Sacramento, I thought it was just going to unroll. Boom. We're going to get here and start saying we're going to have a church, and everybody's just going to line up, and we're just going to do it. Didn't happen that way. But see, I pieced it all together in my mind, thinking, well, this must be what God's going to do, and this is how he's going to do it. And then God came and just blew up my plan. And he reminded me, you're not in charge of this thing. I am. You just do what I say, and we'll get there. But see, people don't want to do that. People don't want to function with God like that. People want to be in charge. We want what we want when we want it. And that's dangerous. Because here's where lust begins to come in. We begin to lust after things that God's going to give you anyway. But what did we say the definition of lust begins to do? That definition of lust, it causes you, as it says here, to begin to passionately desire something. See, some of you want to be rich way too bad. You lust after it. You crave it. I just got to have that house. We got to get that house. You're like just lusting over the thing, like that kind of thing defines you. And when you have that kind of lust in you, you will stop giving to the church to accomplish your goal. People do it all the time. People pray for houses to live in. And once they get their house, they go, well, I can't give anymore because I got to pay my mortgage, Pastor. That's just the way it is. But see, what they do is they forget It's not just about obtaining the promise, it's doing it God's way. Because the Bible tells me that the blessing of God, it will come with no sorrow. That means while you're killing yourself to pay your mortgage, we're going to be over here paying that mortgage with ease because it came from God. But there's a problem. We begin to lust after stuff. We begin to say, I want it now. Some of you got to understand, God, remember John 10:10, he's going to give you a better life than you could dream of, but it ain't going to be your way. It's going to be his way. Well, I can't do that. Then you'll never, listen, you'll never possess the promise of God. But here's the crazy thing about it, y'all. It's easy if you spend time with Jesus to trust him. Let me say that again. Doing this is easy when you're spending time with Jesus. It's easy to trust him. When you don't spend time with God and you become a Christian that just goes to church, you can't get there. Because your mind will always talk you out of what God is asking you to do. It'll always talk you out of it. Because your mind, remember, an unrenewed mind functions according to how this world works. That's why the unrenewed mind doesn't get tithes and offerings. The unrenewed mind says, well, I can't give, I don't have enough. The kingdom mind says the way to get more is to give. I got to get God involved, so I give. It's two different things. It's a whole nother concept. And that's why John reminds us, listen, you can't love the system of the world. If you do, the love of the Father is not in you. Because what is the love of the Father? The love of the Father is taking the time to understand how he does things. So think about the things that you want in life. You're going to have to deal with the lust for them. Some of you want to get married so bad. You got to take a chill. Because God wants it for you, but you're going to have to learn how God does things. So you could take off all your selfies, all the Friday night pics. Come on, somebody. All the booty pics. Yeah. Take those down, too. I had to go there. Pray for me. And learn how God does things. You know how God does things? The kingdom operates on a whole different wavelength. In the kingdom, what you honor is attracted to you. Just marinate right there. So what are you wanting to be attracted to you? Somebody here is going, women, you better start honoring them. And honor just isn't an outward manifestation. It's an inward condition of the heart. So if I honor women, oh, you need to catch this. I'm going to try to get somebody married here today. If you honor women, you don't listen to rap music that defiles women by calling them bees and hoes. Because that ain't honoring women, baby. Oh, yeah, but Pastor, I don't listen to it in front of them. It's a condition of the heart. So even though they don't hear it, it's getting in your heart. And guess what is resisting you rather than being attracted to you? Fine women. Emphasis on fine. Come on, somebody. Some women with some sense. They ain't coming near you. Well, why? They don't know. It's a spiritual principle. What you honor in the kingdom is attracted to you. Right? So it's the same single woman's out there. She's sitting with all her friends, and all her friends are saying, all men are dogs. And you say, I hear you, child. No man heard that. But guess what's in your heart? Dishonor. Guess what's never coming your way? And good man, thank you over there, Cruz. My amen section, because y'all ain't doing it. I'll break you off later, all right. It's not happening. It's not happening. But see, we don't think like that. We're still so sucked into the world system and how the world works that we don't take the time to figure out, well, what does God say about being successful? What does God say about having a good relationship? What does God say about money? about success, about business, about life, the meaning of life. What does he say? If we take the time to learn that and give ourselves over to that, John says that's where you find, here it is, that's where you find the love of the Father. Now think about that term, the love of the Father. I can't find the love of the Father functioning in the world. No, because what is the love of the Father? You know what the love of the Father is? The goodness of God. Yeah. Do you know what the ways of the kingdom teach you? How to access God's goodness. Do you know what giving, all that is a way to access the goodness of God. It's what that is. God's the most, he's generous. He's a giving God. How do you access it? Through learning the ways of the kingdom. The love of the Father. But we've got people that ain't never heard teaching on the kingdom. We've got other people that have never renewed their mind. So even though they come to church, everything they do is like the world. Their marriage is like the world. They raise their kids like the world. Come on, somebody, are you with me today? Yeah. And so all this begins to keep us from the goodness and the love of the Father, according to 1 John. But let's go back to our story here. So this guy wants gold so bad that he disobeys God and he tries to do it in secret. Always hustling, always trying to run a game, always trying to scam somebody. See, there's somebody in here, you're so dishonest, nobody knows but God knows. And you're fooling nobody. And you giggle about it, you laugh, oh, I got over on him. Oh, yeah, you know, he was, you're a hustler. And even though nobody around sees it, God is seeing it. And he will resist you. So you keep ripping off people. You keep cutting deals with folks in the name of hustling. And you're going to see that's not how the kingdom works. God don't honor that kind of stuff. And you make the adjustment. So this guy thought he was getting over. Looked around. Oh, ain't nobody here. Some gold bronze. I know what Joshua said, but he ain't even going to know. But God knew. And he took of the accursed things. And here's the crazy thing. Remember, the promised land was a land flowing with milk and honey. You know what that equals? That equals riches, wealth, and well-being. What God was going to give this guy was what he was stealing already. As some of you are in that place, you're lusting so bad for the success, for the money, for the relationship, that you're going after it, and you're doing whatever you got to do to get it. Chill. Look at your neighbor and say, chill. Because here's the thing. God's got it for you already. And he's going to give you more than what you're trying to get right now. But you got to break that lust thing off of you. This is why I still don't get Christian people that date, that come to church, love God, but date somebody who don't go to church and don't love God. Sorry. I don't get that, because in the promise, you think God is going to bring you something like that. But here's the thing. You just can't wait. I want it now. I kind of sounded like her, huh? Sign me up for that drama on Easter. I'm on my... We got to have it now. Listen, what you've got to understand is before the promise comes, you usually got to say no to a few things. Let me say that again. Before the promise comes, you usually got to say no to a couple things. Sometimes you got to tell a good thing no, because it's not a God thing. So she's good, but she ain't of God. He's a good dude, but he's not a man of God. Right? But see, you can't do that if you got this lust thing. Some people want boyfriends so bad, like it makes you a better person. Come on. You want a girlfriend so bad as if that's going to bump up your status as a human being. It doesn't. There's some losers that got girlfriends. Smile at me. None of them in this room, of course. Of course not. But we want. Listen, God's got that for you. Just chill. Tell your other neighbor, chill. But what causes us to get out of sorts? Here it is. It's the beast of lust. We got to have it. Got to have it now. Got to be a success now. These quick, rich, get rich quick things. Come on, y'all. Come on. Listen, if it's get rich quick, come on. Wealth is to be built. You want to know wealth needs to be built and why there's a process to it? Is because it changes you on the road to wealth. Yes. And you got to change or you'll jack it all up. Yes. Again, this is why lotto winners are broke in 5 years. Because there was no process to the promise. And all the beasts are still there when they give them that big 5-foot-long check and they're smiling taking that picture. That money's going to leave them, but within 5 years. Why? Because the beasts of their field are never taken out. Folks, I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want that to happen to you. So as you're in your promised land, you're dominating things, but the process begins to now cause you to put to death these beasts. And one of the beasts is lust. You can't want something so bad that you're willing to disobey God to get it. And people do it all the time. Listen, it happens in ministry all the time. People will leave a church they're at because another church down the road is promising them a paycheck. And they want to make it and they want to be in quote unquote full-time ministry so bad that they're willing to get out of the process and chase the thing they're lusting after. Happens all the time. And that's why the average minister is in ministry no longer than 5 years. The average. That's why. And this is why churches are closing every Sunday, everywhere. This is why. Because we haven't learned the process to things. We haven't learned that you don't chase the things that God has for you anyway. Those things the Bible says are supposed to chase us. You don't chase money. Money should chase you. Come on, somebody. But what do? We got this thing all out of sorts. Why? Because we haven't broke free from the system of the world and how the world works. And I do a lot of work every Sunday to come in here and give you a glimpse of how the kingdom works. Because if somebody can grasp how the kingdom works, they will have a better life than they could have ever obtained on their own, chasing and lusting after things. So I want you to do this real quick in your mind or on your notes or on your phone. I want you to write things down that you're believing for. For somebody, I keep touching on it. It might be a relationship, a husband. It might be a house. It might be a better career, a better job. Write that down, and I want you to understand this. You need to pray over that and make sure that the desire for those things does not control you. We are called to be in control of the things we want. The only thing that should be controlling us is the Holy Spirit. And even there, the Holy Spirit gives us control. So the things that we want, we can't lust after them so bad that we're willing to get off the plan. So you saw what happened to Israel. This guy gets the bright idea. Joshua doesn't even know it, but God does. So boom, all of a sudden the plan for the nation is in jeopardy because this fool was lusting after something that God was going to give him anyway. And there's some of us in this place, if you could help me, Eddie, there's some of us in this place, the promises of God are coming. What you want is on the way, but you can't let the desire for that thing control you. The strongest desire that we've got to have is our desire to be in relationship with God. That's got to be the strongest desire. The strongest desire in your life is, God, I want to please you. Now, he already loves you. You don't need to do anything to cause him to love you. But I just don't want him to love me. I want to now, in response to his unconditional love for me, I want to please him. And I want my marriage to please him. I want how I father my kids to bring pleasure to God. I want how I deal with my money to bring pleasure to God. That's got to be the number one desire. My number one desire is not to build a mega church. My number one desire is to obey God and do what he calls me to do. And if I do that, He, the Bible says, will go beyond my expectations of what I can ask for or think of. He will do it. But I got to be willing to do things His way. And I got to stay free from, number one, fear. I got to deal with this rebellion in my heart that doesn't want anybody telling me anything, doesn't want advice, doesn't want to be coached, doesn't want to be pastored, doesn't want anybody in my mix. Got to deal with that. Number three, you got to deal with the pride in your life. That thing that causes you to not pray days at a time, not seek His face because you think you can get it done. Listen, we've got to deal with those things. And then we got to deal with the lust. As John said, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All that comes from functioning in the system of the world. And it causes you to have this desire for stuff that God is going to give you anyway if you learn the ways of the kingdom. You won't have to sacrifice your family on the altar of business. Sure, you got a great business, but your kids hate you. Your wife feels unloved. Enjoy that business. It ain't gonna happen. Sure, you got that new house that you've been lusting after, but you don't give to outreaches no more. You don't support the local church. You don't have the fruit in your life that you once had because you put your desires above the desires of God. We got to be careful for these things. Because in the promised land, remember, we've got to stay on the course. Because God is going to give us the things that we desire. But in His time and His way. Let me read one more time to you in verse, what 1 John says there as I close. 1 John 2:15, 17. Do not love the world or the system of the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the system of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Doesn't mean the Father doesn't love you. It means that you can't access the goodness of His love. He manifests His love through blessing you. Did you know God wants to bless some people, but they never give? They're stingy. They don't tithe. They don't give offerings. And God is just going, listen, son, I'm not trying to take your money, but entryway into my kingdom, when you obey the word, then I can move. That's all He's saying. That's all He's saying. He's not trying to make you do something for somebody else, but here's the kingdom principle. Whatever you do for someone else, God does for you. So God is waiting to do something for you. But He says, you got to help your neighbor first. You got to help your friend first, your family member first. Do something for them and watch what I do for you. This is how we access the kingdom. And then He says, for all that is in the system of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, what is that? I want it now. I want it my way. Can't wait. That's what lust makes you do. The pride of life, it's not of the Father. It's of the system of the world. We got to get out of that stuff. The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Do you guys get that? The things that will matter in eternity is the things you did that God had you do for the sake of the kingdom. You're going to have a busy week the next 2 weeks, but you know when we stand before the Father one day and we're in eternity, you know what He's going to remember about the next 2 weeks? The outreach. What we did together as a church. These Sundays that we gather together and we see people touched, impacted, all those things. The things that we do in the kingdom cause us to abide forever. All the other stuff fades away. Ain't nobody going to remember them 40 hours a week that you're just chasing your dream or your success if that success is not yoked up to the plan of God for your life. Are you tracking with me today? Let's stand on our feet. God loves you. He loves you. And He has things for you if you can just find the center of His will and abide there. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes before I let you go. I got to ask because I feel it in my spirit. And maybe you're here today and you know you're outside of the will of God, and it's not that God's mad at you, He wants to bless you. But you got to do something first. And maybe you're here and you've been away from the things of God. You've been away from the from His house and His people, and you've been doing things your way. The Father is calling you back. The Father is calling you back. And if you're here today, He brought you today for this very moment. He's not mad at you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to come and show you the goodness of His love. But you've got to do something. You've got to make a decision. And if you're here today and you're not serving God, you're not living for the Lord, you've never asked Him into your heart, or maybe you have, but you've gotten away, this is your moment to come home. And what I'm going to ask you to do in just a moment is I want to pray with you. I want to help usher in God's presence into your life again, or maybe even for the first time. And here's the thing, you don't need to be ashamed. So many of us in this room have done it. That's why we take the time right now, before we go our ways, before we go on with our days, we want to make sure if there's somebody here that needs Jesus, that we help you get Him. And if that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed for privacy's sake, if you're saying, Pastor, I need to get Jesus into my life, just slip up a hand so I can see where you're at. Just slip up a hand. Yeah, I see that. I see that. Hallelujah. Anybody else? If you're here, you just say, man, I got to get this right. Yeah, I see that over there. Then I want you to do one other thing. And you don't need to feel ashamed. You don't need to feel any kind of way, except that you're going to see God enter into your life. Right now, I want you to put your hand down. I want you to just begin to come to the front so our pastors, Pastor Cheeto and Norma, can lead you in a prayer. So if you raise your hand right now, just begin to come. Let's give them a good hand clap as they come. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, girl. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, it don't matter. It don't matter how many times you've done this. We're going to pray this right now. I want you to do one other thing before I let you go. Look to your left and your right and say, if you need to go up there, I'll go up there with you. Come on, just ask them. Don't miss this moment right now. Come on. And if they need to come up here, you come up here with them. Come on. Come on, give them a hand as they come. Praise God. Yes, come, come. Come, come. We've got some more folks coming. Come on down. Come on. Come on down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's going to be different this time for some of y'all. It's going to really pray. We're going to lead you guys in a prayer. The Bible says if you pray this prayer, you mean it with your heart and confess it with your mouth, God's going to come in. And he's going to invade your life. He's going to be a part of your life. And then right after that, our A team and our Pastor Cheeto is going to take you right out these doors right over here. They're only going to keep you for about 5 minutes. They want to pray with you and make sure if there's anything else we can do for you guys, then we can be a blessing to you. Guys, let's all pray with them as we pray this prayer. You've done this before. I've done this before. Let's get heaven's attention as we pray this. Let's pray. Bow your heads. Everybody repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I've heard your word. And I need you in my life. I thank you for dying on the cross and paying the price that I can receive you and receive heaven and the kingdom of God in my life. Lord, you know I'm not perfect. I need your help so that when I stumble, you will pick me up. Come into my life and forgive me for my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give it up for them this morning, right, man? God bless you guys. Pastor Cheeto is going to take you. Just lift your hand. Just follow Pastor Cheeto out right now. Only about 5 minutes. He's going to go with you, pray with you. Him and some of the A-team members are going to go with you and be a blessing to you. The rest of y'all, have an incredible week. Dominate your week. Bring Jesus into your week. And then we'll see y'all next week. God bless you guys. Have an incredible time. Amen.